This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello and welcome to Inside Commodity Futures Podcast. My name's Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take, and with me today, as always, you've got John Payne of This Week in Grain. How's it going, John?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Craig. Again, these podcasts come quickly. Feels like just yesterday we spoke, and I think we were about 15 cents lower in corn and about 25 cents lower in beans. So it's been another really positive week. Who knows where we'll be a week from now. A lot to talk about over the next 3 to 5 trading sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the big thing is, you know, we've had the big rally in a lot of these markets. We did have crop conditions and planting progress come out on Monday. Looks like we're on pace for both corn and beans, and the corn crop looks good.
Yeah, corn conditions were, you know, above where we were last year. And if you look at a historical trend, it tends to get negative as we go. You know, it's kind of like a new car, so to speak. As you drive more of it, the more problems happen. I think as we get into the middle part of the growing season, you'll start to see those conditions break. But as of right now, nothing really to worry about. Planning seems to be going smooth. I don't know about you. I haven't talked to anybody who's not in the ground yet of my client base.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean a little bit of delay in soybeans depending on where you are, but all in all, I think we can safely assume the plant for 2016 went successfully, and now it'll be about watching weather the next couple of weeks and the WASD on Friday.
So I think before we get to the WASD, I think the one takeaway I had from that USC report is the topsoil. What moisture wasn't as great as it has been the past couple of years. Really haven't seen a whole lot of that, you know, reported in the press, but that was one thing to keep in touch of, just because if the weather does get hot and dry, it could be an issue later. I mean, right now it isn't, because, you know, when the crops go in the ground like this time of year, they don't use a lot of moisture. You know, that's really not until a little bit later, but there's also no ground cover right now either. So if you get some hot and dry weather, that could cause some evaporation. I saw, otherwise, though, on the flip side of that, I saw a few of the analysts saying, like, based on the good, excellent corn ratings, and also just based on the plant, you know, how we're basically planted by this time, by this date, you know, some were saying, like, in their models, you know, we could start off with maybe, like, a 170 national yield. Now, you're absolutely right. Now, going forward, it pretty much can, more likely not, only gets negative, right, than positive.
Right.
Unless things go, like, perfect, you're pretty much shaving off a bushel here and there as you go along. So that was interesting. And even though those kind of stories came out, corn didn't seem to care. Like, it we opened up this week at around 420. We closed on Dees corn at 420, and here we are closing today at 433.
Yeah, gapped open Sunday night too. So I think we're in the hard to put a top on things. I mean, I think if you looked at soybeans trading in the high 10s, you would say, well, you know, look at the way the price action was operating there, and didn't think we'd get through 11, and then you do. So I will not be putting a top target on this, but I think we're kind of entering the thralls of the trade where I worry a little bit about the specs now. We're seeing open interest grow as we're rallying now, and I think, you know, between producers who are just sick of getting whacked the last month, the trend traders who are now jumping on it, and the fact that we were really short just 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Just to kind of recap where we've been, I mean, Craig and I talked, we've been doing this for, what, 6 months now?
Yep.
So about 2 months ago, April 4th, we touched 364 December. So that's April 4th. It's not June 7th, so we'll call it 2 months, and we're trading 433. So we've caught almost a 70-cent rally here in the last 2 months.
Yep.
You know, and it just feels to me like you got to be very careful up here. This is the time, you know, thankfully for us managing and doing what we do to manage risk. There's some risk to manage now. But I think you got to be careful. The South American story is getting baked in, and, you know, what is out there, I think it's been traded. Now, what isn't out there is what we just discussed, is the U.S. weather story. So if you're bullish here and you're right about a U.S. weather story, you're probably going to get paid. It's going to be a couple of weeks till we see the models for the beginning of July.
Right. Yes, that's a good point, John. So basically, we've got the WASDE on Friday, and that's going to give us a little more insight into where the USDA thinks where stocks are. And a lot of that's going to be influenced by what they think the damage that was done in South America and how much export demand basically came from South America to the U.S., because that's really where a lot of this rally came from. So, like, for instance, in corn, a lot of people are making the argument that, you know, maybe we gained about 100 million bushels in exports for old crop. So sure. If that's the case, maybe we go from 1.8 billion carryout to 1.7 billion carryout. Mm-hmm. That's still a lot of corn, but you know, that's what it is. And then just by a mere function of bringing down old stock, old crop carryout, you have to then say, well, the new crop carry in for the next year has to come down 100. So then all of a sudden you go from 2.15 billion to 2.05 billion maybe for a new crop carryout. Me and John don't think they're going to change acres or yields this early, so there's not going to be really something on the new crop supply side that would go into that. That would be, I would think, the effect of the South American issues. Now, we'll see what they say on Friday, but going forward to get a more bullish story to kind of feed the bulls, as they say, it's going to probably be U.S. weather. And keep an eye on the export numbers and U.S. weather.
Right, and I think, Craig, you know, we've talked about this in the past. We've done a lot of this through the supply side rally.
Mm-hmm.
Demand is different because, you know, we don't not only have – when you have higher demand, you bring that stocks use number down. So the 1.7 billion bushel number that we throw around means a lot more. It's kind of like you think of it on a personal level. If I'm making X amount and I'm spending more, well, you know, if I'm not making as much money, then I'm doubled in trouble because I've upped my spending habits that are going to even be harder to ration. So I think that's where the market's found itself for corn, and now it's about money flow, and you're getting into all those heavy terms when it comes to momentum and starting to see the wheat markets move, and a lot of this not making quote-unquote sense to the fundamentalists. The fundamentals will change when they change, and a lot of times the price will already be there. So we don't have to make a lot of sense with this trade. But just coming from where we've been and seeing kind of the price action that we've seen over the last couple of weeks and how the producers have reacted to it has me be a little bit nervous about, a break above 450, for example. I'm not sure I'm gonna jump on board with that quite yet. But, if we have a U.S. problem, and that's where, you know, keep an eye on Craig. We'll do our best over the next couple of weeks to keep the forward outlooks. I'll certainly touch on it in my newsletter. I'm sure Craig will give you an update on Turner's Take and through his Twitter, which is on fire, by the way. If you're not following Turner's Take, you should definitely get on that. And, that's kind of been the story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the interesting story is the soybean story, I think. We just touched about corn, and corn, a lot of it going forward to corn. For corn to get to $4.50 or $5, you know, we're really going to probably need some kind of serious weather issue to bring the national yields down to like 160 or lower, right? But, most likely, you can always see like a spike on short covering or not in this case for corn, but, a short-term catalyst that can sometimes get the market moving. Beans are a little bit different. Last month the WASDE had old crop carryout beans at about 400 million, and that brings you a stock to usage of around 10%, which is big for soybeans compared to where we've been in the past couple of years. But if we start talking about how much meal has been in demand, and if you say the crush. Yeah, 20 million bushels to the crush from last month. And then, the exports have been, we've seen a lot of exports switch from South America. If let's say we get 30 or 40 million bushels get switched over, and exports go up, which may sound like a lot for a 1 month increase in the WASDE, which it is, but we have seen a lot of exports demand come in, which is why soybeans are over $11. you know, all of a sudden ending stocks for old crop could be 340, 350 million bushels. Some of the big bulls, the cheerleaders who are probably long, are saying it could be lower, but you always have to be careful with them because they have a position in the market and they're cheerleading. But, you know, sure. 340, 350, the thing is that, though, it's the same deal with corn. If you're going to lower the ending stocks 50 or 60 million, that means you have to, because that's the carry-in for the next year, you have to then go ahead and, yeah. and subtract from the ending stocks for new crop. And all of a sudden, sure. you're below 250 million on new crop, and we're talking about we could still even have some more demand switch over, and you know, what if we don't get more acres, or you know, if we lose one bushel on the national yield, all of a sudden we're talking about sub 200 carryout, and because soybeans is only really produced for export in the United States or South America, it basically makes the United States between now and let's say March or April, when South America will have their next crop, the single point of failure for the entire soybean export market. So yeah, it can that really ramps up. It's like an amplifier on how volatile that market could be. So soybeans is going to be the story, I think, and it's going to be this. And you know, when I talk about topsoil, you know, I really wasn't thinking about, oh, we're a little bit short on the moisture for corn. You know, my concern was a little bit short in the moisture for soybeans. And if we don't get some rain and we stay hot and dry for June, that could be a big story. So just a lot of things to keep an eye out for soybeans. And I'm expecting a bullish number on Friday. You know, we'll see. There. Sometimes me and John talk about two numbers, you know, the number the market mm-hmm. thinks you're at, and then the market that the number that the WASDE is willing to put out there. Right. Because sometimes, John, they're a little bit slow to change numbers to where some of the analysts in the market think they should be.
Sure. I'll be really interested to see how aggressively they mark down the South American crop. And I think that's, you know, for you and I mean, if you're trying to take these numbers at face value, you would say if they're marking down the South American crop now, they're probably going to continue to do it. If they hold off, maybe they're going to be a little less conservative down the road. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, this isn't a recommendation by any means. Buying beans, I think, you know, has certainly worked, but I might get my buys out into the later part of the fall. That's kind of where the hole seems like it might show up. If we are tight on old crop and we're starting to come down there, they might need to ration that demand further for like the September contract. So
that's a very good point.
If you happen to be long July or long July versus November, or, you know, anything long bullish in the front month, it might be time to pull back a little bit on that front month exposure, just because I think that. You know, I think they'll all go together, but I just think it's a little safer as if this thing would get whacked and Craig and I would be – our expectations would be wrong and they do keep it at 400 million. Mm-hmm. You could see this thing real pretty quickly. But
oh, yeah.
Long term, I don't think it really matters. I think the story's written, and this is the one thing about corn grain trading that's different than crude oil is, you know, we only get one shot a year. So
right,
you fail, like you said, that point of failure is huge, and now it's – we got to wait. In the meantime, there's a lot going on in Brazil, the Olympics and port strikes and this and that. And meanwhile, China still needs their soybeans. So
yeah, absolutely. Soybeans, you know, there's protein demand out there, and right. China is a big part of that. I think what's interesting about Brazil is, you know, we're trading in some of the ports over a dollar over July futures. I mean, we're almost at a – I think Brazilian soybeans are priced in real per sack.
Yeah.
You know, and we're almost – I don't know what that means exactly.
It's
like
such a term, you know?
But I know that it's around 100 right now, and right. that could be almost as equivalent to $13 in soybeans okay. per bushel, sure. which is really the important number. You know,
I've heard they've been trading them. Yeah, I mean, they've been marked up high. I think I think Brazil is selling the same price that they were in 12.
Yeah.
Right on that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Just got the currency differential.
Yeah.
So, like, it's interesting. You know, I read the other day, too, that Argentina was about a dollar over from where the futures were just because of the tight cash situation. So a lot of uncertainty there. I would say, John, you make a good point on the spreads, too. For soybeans, what I'm watching is November versus May of 17.
Okay. Okay. That's a good one.
In my mind, November
have you read about that yet?
Is the new – no, not yet. I'm going to. November okay. is basically – what the U.S. new crop is going to be, because as the funds get out of July, and you can see the July-November spread kind of collapsing here as the funds roll and that long position is getting rolled over to the back months. You know, I think the new front month for the funds and the big traders is going to be November. Not to say that August and September won't be active. It will, especially in a year like this year where they're worried about, you know, stocks. But November is going to signify basically the new crop for U.S., and May is going to represent when Brazil and Argentina can get beans and meal on for their crop. So if there is going to be a shortage of some kind or price rationing, I'm looking at November versus May to see what the market thinks of how much they have to price ration. That's a great question. We are at let's see here. November.
Not to make you work. I could easily.
That's all right. I've got November, March. There's another good one. That's 30. But yeah, I do have that up.
Let's take that, just for example, that's at 30. November versus March was at 30. Yeah. April 1st, it was at 6 under. So,
yeah.
You know, crazy moves. I mean, these are spreads.
Yeah, I got it in front of me. November, May is at 42.5.
Okay.
So November is trading 42.5 cents over May, meaning that like the U.S. soybeans that they'll be marketing for new crop that the United States will be exporting is 42 cents over what will be, you know, for the May contract. And by the time May rolls around next year in soybeans, that's when Brazil and it will be selling beans on the world exports market, you would think. And that's when Argentina would be exporting meal. So it kind of just gives you the gap right now. They're, you know, of this premium being built into the market. And if there is a run on U.S. beans, if there's a shortage or if there's real issues in production, you know, I would think it would pop up in Nov May 1st. So that's the one I could be wrong on that, but that's the one I watch.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for the point out there. I think those are really good places to look. I just would avoid these first 2 to 3 months of the bean market. They're just so wild, and you know, it's meal's one of those things. It's a secondary market essentially, where it takes, you know, the beans to do it. But once they crush it and they have the product, do the beans back off? They don't need as many, and the crush margins change. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a scary trade for me to be, say, long August, short Nov, or a spread like that. I'd much rather be long the new crop beans, because that's what the story is. So
right,
put a little pressure there on the South Americans too, as I'm sure they're going to grow it.
Right, if you're South America, if you're down in South America, I mean, and you're seeing bean prices where they are now in the United States, then you take in the currency and differential. I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I would think you'd want to plant as much beans as you can next year if you're in South America.
Which could be good for corn. So if you're a corn bull.
Yeah, that'd be good for U.S. corn.
Keep going over to that 17, these 17 contracts, still hanging around 420. So we're inverted fully now. December, this is one I've been backwards on. December, these corn. Why? You got to tell me here, educate me on why we're trading 10 over.
10 over, so D16 over, yeah. Over D17.
With a two billion plus carryout. So somebody knows something.
So the corn spreads have been a little strange, I think, lately. You know, SEP D's corn got as high as like +3, meaning SEP was trading 3 over December, and in this past week are now 3 under. So there's been a reversal in SEP versus D's corn, meaning old crop versus new crop, has kind of reversed and started going down. Meanwhile, the D16 has gone over D17, so which is just really you don't see that normally,
function of the role, you think?
Part of a function of the role. I think it's a part of a function that we probably won't see a shortage of old crop corn. Right. So then SEPDs, and you know, you would think SEPDs would go back more out to a natural carry. And I think the reason why maybe D16 over D17 is happening is two reasons. One, the role, the money is going to leave July in corn and go out to December, probably skip September altogether. And then, and that's one thing. And two, you know, if we do have production issues, you would think that, just for example, if we go to a 160 yield or a 155 yield, you know, then all of a sudden $5 corn makes sense. And it is the market's job to kind of price in the possibility of a weather issue. You know, just so it's not flat-footed, and also to, you know, you're basically, you know, you're getting into the most critical, probably June is the most critical weather period, you know, of the year. It is a little bit hotter and drier. I think it's overdone. I'm kind of surprised D16 is 10 over, or a little bit more over than 10 than D7. But, you know, there's a lot of money coming out in there. There's a lot of money coming out of July and going to D's, and things can, you know, and things can get priced like that for a while. But I would be surprised to see where that spread is at the end of June And as long as we have a good crop, I would think I think we'd see that more go to it, you know, go to zero and even into a carry and well into a carry.
You would think so, but you know, we've got to find out how much Brazil's going to need. And I mean, it gets the difference being corn is a global commodity, whereas beans are pretty much regionally produced in two countries, three countries. So you know, we can find corn elsewhere if we really need to find it. But beans are, as you can see, all of a sudden in demand.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think you just got to realize, you know, if we do have a drought or some kind of reduction in expectations on, you know, crop, you know, then, you know, D16, D17 can go higher. But on the export market, I don't think it's going to matter so much because you're right. We do produce corn in so many other parts of the world, not just South America, but Ukraine and South Africa, and there are other parts of the world, you know, in Europe that produce corn. Beans are a little bit more sensitive to that stuff. But I don't know. We'll see. The one thing that I follow a lot is Sep First East corn and then D First East. It's been strange. It has been some strange price action.
Well, it's I think it's a function of just what's going on globally. Really, you look at what's performed for the year. Commodities as the end of the first quarter were the laggard of the economy, whether it be crude oil or iron ore or, you know, steel or any of that stuff. But it's really since the end of the first quarter, meals, there's a function there, but that's up close to 50%. Crude oil's up close to 30%. You just go down the pipeline. I mean, everything. Yeah. Corn's up double digits, 15-20%. So, I mean, it's that would be from a macro standpoint. You see anything macro wise? I mean, you take away all the fundamentals. Are you concerned at all about what interest rate hikes do to this, or is that kind of thing priced in at this point?
I think when we get to this time of year, it doesn't matter as much. You know, when we're in the summer, we're in the critical time of the year. We're going to probably see more of just what's going on the weather. But, I mean, the value of the dollar, interest rates always have some kind of effect on commodity markets if nothing else is going on, right? And then we'll see that play out in the market. So I don't know. I think we're okay on the macro side. I would say the last thing I would touch on this podcast is the wheat market.
Sure.
If anyone follows wheat, wheat's performed well, and it's interesting. There's two stories going on wheat. It's rallied. I think we're hitting some resistance here on the charts. You know, we're getting close to highs. I will say this too: during this whole rally, the wheat spreads really haven't done a whole lot, especially like, you know, the internals. And if you look at July versus September, we're still at a 10-cent carry. We're almost halfway through the VSR calculation period, and we're 85 to 86% of full carry, meaning that if we finish this 26-day period above 80%, VSR expands by 3 cents per month. That means elevators can charge more. That means the wheat spreads can expand too. So it's been an interesting situation. Wheat has come up. There's a big short position in the funds. There's been some short covering. Wheat's come along as soybeans and corn have come up, yet the spreads are widening, meaning they're getting more negative, and it's pricing. I think we're pricing in VSR now. Meaning that these spreads can expand. So I would keep an eye on that, especially if you're a wheat trader. And also, you know, something like Sep First East corn, we're at 18-cent carry. You know, if VSR expands, you know, by 3 cents per month, there could be a lot of activity in wheat spreads where sometimes they can be very slow. If that VSR expands and we get a great wheat crop, because I know the thing with wheat, especially Chicago wheat, has been we've got a lot of bushels, but not the quality. So that's been supportive of the spreads. But if we now get this a very good wheat crop that comes in of harvest, and not only do we have big stocks, but we also have good quality to blend in with some of the lesser crop quality from years, now all of a sudden the elevators might be able to charge more, the VSR expands, and those spreads can go lower. So that is something to keep an eye on too.
Okay. Good. Well, for my outlook, I'm a little contrarian at this point. I would say just based on open interest, take a look at feeder cattle. That's all I'll say. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, listen, John, I will WASDE's on Friday at 11 a.m. And, you know, we'll be talking next week about our thoughts on the WASDE. In the meantime, follow John on This Week in Grain. My newsletter is Turner's Take, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Turner's Take.
Sure, and well, if you check out the Daniels Trading website after the WASDE comes out on Friday, I do a quick video recap if you want me to go through it. And of course, you can always email Craig through the Twitter or through his email, or contact myself. All of our contact information is in the show notes.
Sounds great. Well, talk to you soon, John.
Have a great week.
Bye. Bye.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.